Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are Marjorie Rawl, the Fitchburg Art Museum's Tirana Assistant Curator, and artist Nathan Clark Bentley, whose paintings, Waiting for the Night, are on view during the 2021 85th Regional Exhibition of Arts and Crafts at the Fitchburg Art Museum, open till September 5th, 2021. Marjorie, Nathan, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Marjorie, let me talk to you. Talk to me about the 85th Regional Exhibition of Art and Crafts. There wasn't one last year, was there?
There was not. No, we typically have about 200 to 250 artists who come through the museum to drop off one or two pieces of their artwork. So we thought maybe a little unsafe to do summer 2020.
You could become a red zone in yourself with that.
Yes, exactly. So.
Now, did you have artists already expecting to show their work?
No, it's completely. So we get an outside juror every year, and the juror picks different artwork every year. So the exhibition changes every year who's included.
No, what I meant is that for last year, were there artists waiting to show their work?
Oh, of course. Yeah, because it's a regional exhibition that has been going on for, 80-plus years, there's artists that expect it every summer, absolutely. So it was a little bit of a bummer to have to cancel something that's been happening consecutively for 84 years, but yes.
Now, how are works chosen for the show?
We choose a different juror every year, and the juror typically selects them in person. All of the artists, as I said, come to drop off their work, and the juror comes through the museum and picks them in person. But this year, we actually moved the process online. So,
like everything else in the world is
exactly,
now moved online.
Exactly. It was a little bit of a unique gem in that we were still doing it and juried in person. So this year, we joined the crowd and did it juried online.
Now, how many works were submitted?
There were about 250 artists who submitted, and you can submit up to two, so it was close to 400 artworks.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What are the qualifications for submission?
You have to live or work within 30 miles of Fitchburg, so we want it to really be hyper-regional, very close to home to the museum.
But it's also multi-state, then. It also includes New Hampshire, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And since Fitchburg is so close to New Hampshire. So, and that work has to also be made within the last 2 years. We want it to be contemporary as well, your latest work. But there are no size restrictions. There's no media restrictions. So you can really submit anything you want.
And then the challenge is for people to hang these works?
Yes.
I always thought that that was the hard part. Everybody thinks it's the choosing part. It's not. It's the actual hanging it so that it makes visual sense. I can't imagine. Was that part of your job?
That is my job. Yes, that is my job. And it's kind of a treat. It's like a puzzle. And
oh, don't go there.
So good
oh, yeah, right. Wow. Toe the company line, don't you, Marjorie? Holy crap. It has to be a challenge. Come on.
It's a big challenge. It is a big challenge, but I like a challenge. I'm serious, Mark.
Now, were there any interesting trends because of the disastrous year that we had last year?
We all...
Was there a lot of bummer pieces?
We thought there would be, but to be honest, there wasn't. There were a handful that were kind of on the nose, the COVID sort of topics. But honestly, I had a lot of nature, landscapes, very quiet, very subdued, serene.
That's because people were out in the natural environment by themselves.
Yeah, that's why
I'd spent the whole year outside just by myself.
Yeah.
Now, totally. There's a person who is the winner of the exhibition, and then what happens with them?
Each year we pick a first prize winner, and the first prize winner gets a solo exhibition at the following regional exhibition the following summer. So this year's first prize winner will have a show like Nate's next summer.
Nathan, and I want to talk to you now about your work. These paintings,
sure.
There are certain works that I just immediately get into and involved with. You have how many paintings in this exhibition?
There's 11 paintings total.
And it's called, actually, called Waiting for the Night. This whole thing seems like it was, it's like the contemporary Vanitas collection. You know, it really, the first thing I thought of was, like, this is the Vanitas paintings for this time period.
Interesting, yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, I'm glad that people are taking different things away from it.
Well, talk to me about it, because this is, the first part sort of seems fun when you first sort of glance at it, and then it becomes really dark and disturbing.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, I think ultimately that's sort of what I was trying to achieve with the paintings, because on the surface, you know, they're all things that we've more than likely all of us have experienced in to some degree, and probably have to some degree fond memories of those experiences. But part of what I'm trying to do and what I tried to do with the paintings is look at how those experiences shape us, what they mean, the idea of kind of then and now. The way that we look back on things that we've done with a different perspective. So, yeah, there is definitely a darker element to them, and I want them to be critical. I want to be saying something that has some value and some relevance today.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's all from a male point of view, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they're certainly all point of view paintings, more or less, and so I guess as a male artist, you might say that they're from the male perspective. There's certainly a critique of the male role.
Yep, absolutely.
And yeah.
And the other touchstone I brought to this, which may sound a little goofy, but was Richard Linklater's 1993 movie Dazed and Confused. And they had a big, you know, a beer keg party way out in the wilderness, and there were all sorts of vignettes that went on, and it was all sort of happy-go-lucky stuff for a movie. And then this reminded me of what the real story was in that film, that the things you didn't see on camera were these paintings.
Right, yeah. You know, again, looking at the, you know, like you mentioned earlier, but looking at the darker side of those what seem to be happy, you know, happier experiences.
Well, yeah, I wasn't one of those people that went out and did this, because I was such a freaking nerd. I didn't have people buying alcohol for me and all that stuff. Besides, when I went to high school, it was like the late 60s, so everybody was doing acid. In that case, the paintings would be very different. Marjorie, did you understand the reference when I said Dazed and Confused? Did you?
I have seen the movie, yes.
And do you also, I mean, do you agree about the Vanitas?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's one of my favorite parts, is kind of exactly the way you described it, Mark, is when you walk up to it, they're bright and they're fun. You're like, oh, what is this party? And then you get up close and you notice things on their fingernails, smiling faces, or just the tiny little hints of like memento mori or vanitas, like you were saying, of, you know, reminders of mortality and the darker side of things. Absolutely.
Well, even the titles of the paintings, Nathan, really sound like, you know, when you're sort of a late teen, early 20s, and, you know, things like Blue Oyster Cult's, you know, like Don't Fear the Reaper is like your favorite song. They sort of remind me of that sort of nihilism from that age group.
Yeah, well, I mean, interestingly enough, all the titles are pulled from various song lyrics.
I knew that. I wanted you to just admit it.
Yeah. No, they are, and somewhat purposely. I like just sort of embedding as much information that can be related to.
Yep, absolutely.
Know. So if you're looking at something or you're reading something, and then all of a sudden you're reminded of something else.
Yeah.
And if it's minimal enough or subtle enough that it, you may not even realize it at a first pass. And but yeah, so I'll take one or two from even different songs or different artists and kind of mash them together to sort of create a title or a statement that is more relevant to the painting itself.
Well, the interesting thing too, it's a perfect summer exhibition.
Yeah. That,
now, I couldn't imagine any of this happening in the middle of a New England winter.
No, certainly not. Although, I mean, sometimes you got to stay warm in cars. But
yeah, but yeah, you always want the action on top of the hood, like you show in your...
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about flesh.
Okay.
There's something really disturbing about the flesh in your paintings. It reminds me of silly putty, and I mean that not in a facetious way, but in sort of an eerie way. Talk to me about that, and I'm sure that's on purpose.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's purposefully like silly putty or purposely not like flesh in particular, but I don't have access to actual figures or models, and a lot of the time I'm sort of just mining social media for resource images and how the body contorts, the way people posture themselves, and really just trying to then recreate memories and fantasies and into these scenes you're seeing. And so I guess the flesh is just an attempt at recreating the human form. And
and the flesh does weird stuff in your paintings. It bends and flattens and stretches. It's like silly putty.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't quite make that connection at first, but it's true. I do try to distort the figure wherever possible.
Sometimes it gets really flat.
Yeah. So I used to paint in a style that was very flat. It was more or less collage format paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first started addressing these themes specific to this series, was all new for me, painting figures and moving into this kind of narrative direction. So earlier works that I began the series at the very beginning of 2020. So earlier works, there's kind of, you could see the sort of process of learning and understanding the spaces and the figures that occupy them.
I also love all the objects that in your painting, all the commercial objects, and even the tattoos, most of which look like they were made by amateurs. So, cool. Do you have any tattoos that you've made yourself?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I've got a stick and poke that regrettable stick and poke.
Did you do it yourself, or did you have a friend?
No, I did it myself. And again, you know, maybe thinking about those darker nights, having maybe too many drinks, and but
I was going to say, how many Rolling Rocks did it take to get through it?
Oh, man, I was at that point probably way too many than I'd like to ever even admit to. But
oh, my God. I've always wanted to do it, but I'm too chicken shit.
I mean, going to a professional is certainly the way to have it done.
Yes.
I would not recommend.
We're not recommending that you go out and tattoo yourself. However, if you do, take a look at these paintings for some ideas.
Yeah.
But you actually have all that other sort of, and a lot of this also reminds me of the Midwest in some ways too. But it's probably just true across the board. All these other things, the fast food containers, the lottery card. There's a lottery card in there. A lot of that, and I love the detail that you put into this. I'm amazed. Have you ever gotten like approached by any of these people that you've taken their logo from and asked them about it, or them ask you about it?
I haven't. I've.
Or do they consider it advertising?
I think once or twice I may have like hashtagged Rolling Rock or like at Rolling Rock. I mean, if I could get a sponsorship for beer drinking, you know,
that'd be excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you want Rolling Rock?
Oh, it's probably my preferred domestic.
Oh my God. Okay, that just told me a lot about you.
The old Latrobe, it's a great one.
I know. The other thing I love is the Donkees is in there too. By the way, for people who are listening to this interview, you're going to have to go see to the show in order to understand what we're talking about. We're not even talking about the weirdest stuff yet. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I love the fact that I would get it underwritten by Donkees. Donkees is in there.
Yeah. I think regionalism is probably a big part of the where these paintings fit into a broader,
Even carvings in wood where things like Tomorrow Won't Do, all these classic sort of late teen, early 20s, again, that sort of rock and roll sensibility from a certain kind of rock. I also loved your Flying Chili Pepper slices, or hot peppers. You get wrapped up in looking at your paintings. It's funny. There are works that, yes, there's an overall tone and theme, but there's so many weird details, some of which are clear, some of which are distorted and surrealistic. They end up spending a lot of time looking at each work, and I love that. I think that's really successful.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's something I've always thought about when making paintings, is if you stand in front of a painting, do you get it all at once, or are you immediately drawn to look deeper and to see more? And the longer you look, are you enticed to look more and understand more? So I definitely think about that with every painting.
That's really interesting, because I've actually spent a lot of time watching people go through art museums, and most people just literally glide through the gallery. And I often think, like, what are you doing? What are you looking at? They're not really, I think they're hoping that something from the painting will jump out and then like touch their soul or something. They're not really looking at the painting at all.
Yeah, I think I even read somewhere that the average, you know, with regards to artists on Instagram, the average painting or post gets 3 seconds of view time.
Yeah, can you imagine that? For a painting like yours, or going back to paintings from the Dutch Republic or other ones that are just filled with detail, how could you? You have no idea what's going on.
It's a little baffling, but you know, hopefully at least if anyone who goes to see my show might feel differently, might take a little extra time and decipher some of the symbols and information within.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Marjorie Rawl, the Fitchburg Art Museum's Tirana Assistant Curator, and artist Nathan Clark Bentley, whose paintings, the series Waiting for the Night, are part of the 2021 85th Regional Exhibition of Arts and Crafts at the Fitchburg Art Museum up till September 5th, 2021. Marjorie, I want to talk to you again.
Sure.
What are some of your favorite did you get a lot of three-dimensional works in this submission?
Actually, we did, and I think we got more than usual because artists did not have to bring them to the museum to potentially be rejected by the juror. So if you could just submit your sculpture online and then only have to bring it in once if it's selected, I think artists were more apt to submit 3D works. We got a ton.
But was it tough to judge them via the net? I mean, do you get a sense of did you ask them to take shots from different sides and then put in something for a sense of scale?
Yes, we definitely did. So if you were submitting three-dimensional work, we allowed multiple images so you could get a sort of 360 view of the piece. But that's about it. You don't get to submit a statement or anything like that. So it really was
Taking
off of a couple images.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you always get certain people submitting every single year?
Yep, we get the regulars, absolutely.
Do you have a policy about accepting regulars, or is it just entirely based on, do you not know who the artist is when you're judging it?
Mm-hmm. I know the artist because I'm not the judge, but so we pick an outside juror and they do not know the artist, so it's blind, completely blind jury.
That's amazing, that's absolutely incredible. So what percentage of work is accepted?
It's about, so there are almost 400 pieces submitted, and we can fit about 100, 110 pieces, so I'm not great at math, but that percentage.
Now, do you try to give the judge some kind of sort of outline to balance it out between three-dimensional or craft and then fine art or whatever? Mm. Is there any kind of guideline like that, or you just... They just judge
Not
whatever.
Really. We like to give our jurors a lot of autonomy. I you know, remind them that it is an exhibition of art and craft, so you can't pick too much of one and too much of the other. But for the most part, it really shakes out to be, and we pick jurors who have probably done this before and they know to pick an even selection of 3D and 2D and make sure there's some photography and all of that. So we kind of have lucked out in letting them do their thing.
What about, you know, the craft part is the part I always get worried because it's always sort of stuck in there at the end. Do you get enough craft submissions?
Oh, absolutely. We get tons. There are so many furniture makers in the region, jewelry makers, quilters. We get a really healthy selection. Yeah.
Now, I want to go back and talk to Nathan because his paintings are definitely fun. Nathan, I want to talk about sexuality in your paintings, too. It's a certain kind of slightly inexperienced sexuality that's being portrayed. Would you say that?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's
well. I'm going to embarrass. How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, so you're up there.
Yeah.
So not like me because I'm way up there, but what I'm talking about is that when you think you know what you're doing, but you really don't know what you're doing in having active sexual relationships. These paintings sort of are from that time period while you're still in the learning phase, in the uphill phase.
Yeah, I think 100%. They're certainly drawn on memories and experiences of that point in life where you are kind of fumbling and grappling and maybe not, you know, engaging with someone in the best way.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It really captures that sort of gestalt, that sort of mindset of people who are, mm-hmm. are just sort of trying to learn. That's a lot of sweaty fumbling kind of thing going on. On the other hand, you're drawing panties incredibly well. Talk to me about that, because there's sort of a weird attention to detail.
I suppose when you're referring to,
you're not doing this from memory. You're using it from ads.
I do have reference material for all the objects. You know, jeans, beer cans.
Okay.
You know, I keep reference material because for me, the making sure I can render the objects in a believable way is a part of the style that I'm trying to achieve.
But at the same time, it's very surrealist too. You do an interesting balance between the two of them.
Yeah, you know, I think part of that kind of sense of surrealism is more or less the fact that I'm kind of conjuring these spaces and these kind of melding together memories and fantasies and fictions in kind of importing these characters into them. So there's really no way to make them altogether believable. And I think that's where the focus on objects and rendering the objects believably is important to me.
Yeah, and it's interesting because those objects, like we were talking about the Dunkin' Donuts or the Chinese food containers or the Rolling Rock beer, they set off in the viewer, at least in me, a whole series of memories I had to those logos and those objects. And that was something that you bring to the paintings.
Yeah, you know, I want there to be, I mean, there is, it sort of, unavoidably a sense of nostalgia when you're talking about your own memories and then having those be on view for someone else to interpret.
Also, overlaid on top of these are sort of these odd sort of streaks of color, almost look like silly string kind of a thing that almost give it like an ectoplasmic sort of look to it on top of it. And I found that really fascinating too.
Thanks. Yeah, that was more or less a stylistic or technical choice that was a holdover from the previous collage format works I was painting. So only the first, I think it's only the first four paintings I did chronologically for Waiting for the Night have that kind of silly string looking foreground overlay. And as I became more comfortable articulating the spaces and understanding the format of this style of painting, I was able to kind of discard that technical choice and move on to embellishing the spaces with different ideas and different ways of manipulating the paint.
Did you create this series for the Fitchburg Art Museum exhibition?
So I think as Marjorie mentioned earlier, I was the first place winner in 2019 before the pandemic. And at that point I was working, in a different style in the collage format paintings. But thematically, there was a lot of ideas I was kind of jumbling around at that point, and moving into creating narratives with figures, having actual subjects to sort of convey the ideas I wanted to discuss became imperative. And so there was this kind of natural linear progression into this series of work. And in truth, I think I got kind of lucky having the postponement, because I was able to really flesh out all the ideas and bring together a cohesive body of work rather than having kind of two half-baked series.
Got it. Is this a series that's now over, or are you going to continue?
Something I'm toying with right now. I painted basically every day. If you were looking at, I ran the numbers. If you were looking at it as a percentage, I painted 95% of each, not of the day, but 95% of the time I painted every day.
Wow.
Since 2016.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a huge commitment. I wanted to kind of address a new way of living and set some goals. Anyway, that being said, I've taken a break from the studio. I'm not sure what I want to articulate next, what I want to say, if I have anything to say.
That sounds like the series is over.
Yeah, the series is over.
when you take a break and then you want to know what's next, it sounds like the series is final. It's an amazing accomplishment. It's an incredible series.
Thank you.
Marjorie, I want you to talk. We just have a minute left. This exhibition's open September 5th. What are the precautions for people to come and visit? It's the normal hours of the Fitchburg Art Museum. Are you still masking up inside the galleries?
If you are vaccinated, you do not have to wear a mask.
Okay.
But if you are not, you do.
Okay. And I really strongly recommend this show and this specific exhibition we've talked about. My guest tonight has been Marjorie Rawl, the Fitchburg Art Museum's Tarana Assistant Curator, and artist Nathan Clark Bentley. You've got to see the canvases we've been talking about. And his exhibition is Waiting for the Night. And really, Nathan and Marjorie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Of course, thank you.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.